This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody had a great 4th of July, a great Canada Day, and, well, enjoyed what was a shortened week, or at least should have been a shortened week for everybody if they got the days off. And it was, actually, I would say, even an interesting week on the surprising market side where we saw some more market moves than I thought we would. But we will recap a lot of these market moves, and in the first two segments, we are going to be focusing on the resource sector, and more especially kind of the resource stock sector. I have Joe Mazumdar, Brent Cook's partner over at Exploration Insights. And Joe, we're going to take up the first two segments, initially start to recap what we saw in the first half and what you and Brent were thinking and planning on happening in the first half. So please, Joe, initially, just a general recap of where your expectations fell compared to what we actually saw.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me. When we did our year-end review of last year and what we were thinking was going to happen this year, I mean, the principal commodities that we were going to be focused in on were gold, because we thought there'd be a lot of volatility, and we could see a pop in gold price. We didn't think it was going to go to 1500, 1600, but we thought, you know, we could get it up over 1300 at least. And then what we were looking for more on the market fundamentals of, you know, supply demand would have been copper and zinc. So those are basically the three commodities we focused in on. We understand there's a lot of people involved in the commodities related to batteries, but those aren't markets that we're too knowledgeable in, so we've sort of refrained from getting into those. And based on that, in terms of the stages, most of what we were focused in on has been on exploration and prospect generators. So right now, the bulk of the 22 companies that we have in our portfolio, I would say about 75% of them, 80% of them, are either prospect generators or explorers in gold, zinc, and copper. And that's what we set out to do, and that's basically directionally where we're at right now. And what we've seen, if we look at gold, gold had gone up to, you know, about to 1300 around, I believe, the end of June, and so that was up 12 to 13% of the year. But the GDXJ hit its peak earlier. Back in February, it was up about 34%. But now, year to date, it's only up 2 to 3%. We noticed, like, with the index on the base metals, you know, copper and zinc had gone up, you know, between 10 to 15% by mid-February. But the XBM, what we use as a benchmark, peaked at about 20% twice in the end of January and the mid-February, up to 20%. But now it's basically flat. And basically what we're sitting on is, like, right now we're basically flat, but we did peak around February. We were able to take advantage of some of this peak and close some positions off. But most of our stocks right now are sort of mostly on the alpha. And what I mean by that is that we need a discovery, we need a drill hole, we need some fundamental news on the asset to drive the share price, and it's not really a gold price-driven stock.
Well, Joe, some of the interesting aspects of individual companies that you and I have talked about, but we haven't spent that much time on, is this JV and earnings from majors. We've actually seen majors put quite a bit of money into junior companies, exploration companies, because of, I think, their lack of any sort of pipeline of decent projects. And now these companies are cashed up, but that being said, we are going to have a lot of shares come into the market and come free trading in this environment where we are kind of flat for a lot of stocks this year. How do you think the market digests this, and what are you paying most attention to?
Well, I mean, in terms of the joint ventures and earn-ins and equity placements by majors and juniors, as you said, like what we've noticed is like my old company, like Newmont, they did one, which was an explorer in the Yukon, which is Goldstrike, on a theory that they might be able to find a different deposit than these guys were actually looking for. And they've basically taken the earn-in and said, we will operate it, and here's the amount of money we're planning on spending. And when you look at an earn-in, you know, the company that's getting earned into will always look at the top-line number. But what you got to understand is that there's options and there's stop points where, you know, they might only have to spend a quarter of the amount of the headline number just to get an idea whether it's going to be something of interest, and then they pull out. What's important for the junior company is that when they pull out, that they don't retain any interest. So the junior company gets the project back, and they might have had 8 to 10 million or some amount of money already spent on the project, and then they could look at it in a different way and just say, oh, it's too big for that company, but there's still this in it. And so what we're seeing is basically that majors are not expanding their corporate G&A with respect to exploration, but what they're doing is expanding the corporate development and using the junior companies as their leverage for exploration.
Sometimes it can actually be positive for these junior companies when you see a major pull out of a JV or an earn-in type of situation. I can think of a couple examples through just the last few years where when the major pulled out, yes, the stock took a hit, but it's come back and it actually turns out to be a net positive. Have you noticed the same thing?
Yes, but sometimes what you can have is the event where you get a lot of momentum because what shareholders want or investors want is a stamp of approval. So any kind of due diligence done by an independent firm, company that's public is basically what investors want, because this is obviously a high-risk industry. And so when a major comes out of nowhere or a producer comes out of nowhere and says, hey, you know, I like this, and I'm going to do a 10% placement, or I'm going to do a joint venture on an earn-in, that's sort of saying to the investing community, wow, this is something reasonable. And again, our whole mantra or investment thesis on these juniors is an M&A takeout. So that footprint by a major is sort of saying, hey, this may be worthy of that. And so that's a big momentum swing in terms of going up. Problematically, on the other side, when a major pulls out, then it's like, oh, I guess it's not good enough. And then what the company has to work on and say, yeah, well, they might not have drilled in the places that we thought that they should have drilled, or they wasted a lot of money on this or this. And really, this is what we think is a good thing, and they sort of screwed up. So, but they've spent money on a camp. They've spent money on drilling. They've done all this airborne mags and geophysics, and they've left us with a lot of data. And that's what we're going to use going forward. We get all the project back, and we're sitting with $10 million spent on it. So in terms of what you're saying, yes, that is a positive going forward for the company, but the company has to convince the investors that it's still potentially worthy of somebody else coming in to take it out, because they obviously don't think that the explorer is going to turn into a producer in 5 to 10 years, that they only want to find something for somebody else.
Exactly. You always need to kind of dig down deeper and understand why the major might have pulled out. And sometimes it's all just on the major because they want to remove themselves from a certain area, or quite frankly, they're shifting focus. So again, sometimes these can be net positives, but in a broad sense, it is good to see, obviously, majors working with exploration companies in terms of potentially building their projects. But, hey, Joe, I'm going to be right back with you, and we're going to talk about, now that these juniors have money, what do we need to be looking for in terms of future news over this summer and into the end of the year? Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberry's Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with my conversation with Joe Mazumdar. And Joe, we talked last segment about companies that were cashed up, that had JVs, that had earn-ins from majors. I want to focus now on those companies that have money, have a drill program underway, or some sort of geochem, some sort of sampling program. And the fact that we should be seeing these results pretty soon in the markets. I know that you and your partner, Brent, take very close look at pretty much all the results when they come out, trying to find the next big story, trying to stay up to date with everybody. What are you going to be following most closely over what is historically usually a pretty slow time for the junior resource stock market?
Well, I think what we've seen, and as you pointed out, you know, the financings this year are probably not greater than the financings last year. But what we notice and what we've discussed previously is that a lot of the money has gone to these junior companies. So there were a lot more placements of $5 to $10 million. And we see companies with budgets, junior companies that couldn't raise a dime 3 years ago or 2 years ago, with budgets, $20 million budgets over 2 years, so they could actually plan 2 years of work now. And so that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing more consistent news flow from these juniors. You know, what we look for, and we, you know, I just got back from a site visit to Guyana, and I was in Mongolia, is we try to understand basically what they're looking for, what the analog is, and is that analog something that somebody's going to want? Because in the end, M&A is our target. We don't want them to develop it. So when we look at the drilling results, the geochem, the geophysics, we're looking to see if that analog for that kind of deposit that we're looking for still makes sense. And you know what we're finding with a lot of the gold ones, because, you know, what we're looking at is grams per ton, which is parts per million. It's really the high-grade shoots within these mineralization, within this broader zones of mineralization that we want to focus in on to see if something like that's there to give people, a producer, a payback. So when we look at the drilling results, we're really focused in on the high grade. And we're basically looking at the plan that they're developing and see if that meets the criteria and consistently works towards the criteria that we think that a major or a producer would look at for a potential takeout or even an earn-in.
So, Joe, what I find interesting, and you alluded to it there, is that these companies are so cashed up right now that they're planning multi-year exploration programs, which means that they're not so dependent on one or two drill holes, but which also means that they attack these properties in slightly different fashion. One could say a better fashion in the terms of they can go through some of the geochem, they can go through some sampling, some trenching, and further isolate where these drill targets are. What balance do you and Brent like to see when these companies do put out these longer-term exploration programs?
Well, let's take an example. I mean, I can give you a few examples, thankfully, from our portfolio, like Gold Road Resources. Okay, that's GOR on the ASX. I mean, that company found something a few years ago, which was Gruyere. You know, a large, you know, 1.3 gram per ton open pit in Western Australia in a new district that they're calling the Yamarna Greenstone Belt. And within that was they did a feasibility study, got interest from Gold Fields, and now they're developing it. Gold Fields put their money in, paid Gold Road for half of it. So now Gold Road is sitting there with hundreds of millions of dollars, some of it allocated to their 50% commitment on the development, but now they're cashed up with respect to exploration. So they can, and this is the important thing, is that they can leverage their advantage, which is exploration and not development. What we don't want to see is people cashed up with no experience in doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so we don't want to see an exploration company looking to develop. We don't want a bunch of developers looking to operate. You know, we want people that are funded to do what they're good at, working in an environment that they're that they have experience in, working in deposits that they know about. And so that's money that we think has a higher probability of being well spent. And so what we like about this Gold Road was is not only do we have an underlying fundamental with this gold project being developed, but if it was only that, we would have probably little interest in the company. What we're more interested in is that they've got cash that they can use to do a big structural framework study, look at prioritizing their targets, which they spend 3 months doing, and now they do a systematic way of exploration where they do these air core drills just to see what the bedrock is, because most of it's undercover. And then they follow that up with reverse circulation drilling, and then they follow that up with drilling, diamond drilling. So they've got the systematic way of exploring this entire greenstone belt. And now they're funded to do that, such that they don't have to get this drill hole in or drill it this way so they can get a high-grade intersection to go to the market to do a private placement. These guys have a big plan, and that's obviously rare in exploration with a junior company. Now it's even rare in exploration for a major company. So those are things that we're looking for. But we're not only looking for money. We want money in the right hands.
Which is a very good point, because, well, at the tail end of the last bull market, we saw a lot of money wasted, and that is the last thing we want to see again. But typically that's not what you see at the beginning of another new cycle, which hopefully this is. Joe, as one more little recap, you and I talked recently about this summer basket idea that you and Brent had, building around the GDXJ rebalancing, but also looking at potential opportunities for summer. Can you take us through how that's going for you?
Not well.
So, that's honest. Thank you.
So the whole idea there was, to do something similar to what we did at the Christmas wish list. So the Christmas wish list was to take advantage of this rebound in the gold price between Christmas pre-PDAC. And so I came up with another idea to say, okay, we're going to have a slowdown over the summer. We're going to have this GDXJ rebalancing. And so some of these stocks could take more of a hit than the fundamentals merit. So then what was I looking for? I wanted this was more of a beta play, meaning I needed leverage to the gold price, whereas most of what we've talked about in this interview has been alpha plays with respect to exploration, drilling results, and finding something. So this is just about, okay, who's got a high beta to gold? Who's got a lot of money such they don't need to go back to the market? And who's liquid enough with respect to trading that we don't get stuck with the shares. And so I basically did this analysis. We picked out three or four companies that we managed to get at the levels we were looking for. And, right now this was a short-term trade that we wanted to keep until about September. So we still haven't realized the gains that we'd like. But in terms of the GDXJ, June 16, a lot of these stocks, went down about 6%, 5 to 6% on anywhere from 3 to 7 times their normal volume.
Joe, it's always great having you on the show. Thank you for your time. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I have Ned Schmidt. He is the editor and founder of the Value View Gold Report. Ned also has an agricultural-focused newsletter that we won't discuss this time, but I'm sure I'll have him back on the show shortly to touch on, well, the agricultural sector, which is continuing to break out. But, Ned, what I do want to talk about in this segment is the disconnect we're seeing between silver and gold. Silver right now is pretty much back to where it was trading at the beginning of the year. Also, gold stocks, if you judge them by GDX, that's also back to where it is at the beginning of the year. But then when we look at gold, even though it has been trending down over the last 5 weeks, still is up just over 5% for the year. Why do you think this disconnect is happening, Ned?
Well, let me go into the disconnect a little bit. One way of measuring that I do is with R squared of silver on gold. You know, when I built my daily price spreadsheet a decade ago, I put it in there. And normally we know these metals move together. I mean, we can see it visually on the screen. And R squared says what percentage of the wiggles in silver are explained by the wiggles in gold. And normally they move together. And that measure is 80 or 90% usually. Except during these periods, it highlights when it's disconnected from gold. And that measure now is down to about 10%. We haven't seen that kind of disconnect since about 2013 when silver was about $14. So this disconnect is overextended, and there should be a point when gold moves that it snaps back. My conjecture on what the disconnect is due to the money that normally would be going into silver is going into cryptocurrencies. Silver is the average investor's speculating play because of the price. I think those investors instead are trying to lose all their money in cryptocurrencies. And I firmly believe they will, Corey.
Well, in all fairness right now, Ned, cryptocurrencies have done very well. And I think you are right. Some of the speculators that would be otherwise putting their money into the precious metals are distracted by these cryptocurrencies. But that being said, cryptocurrencies are going in the up direction. Precious metals are, let's say, going sideways.
Well, if you pull up a one-year chart on Bitcoin, what you will see is a perfect parabolic formation. This is one where the price rises and rises faster. The slope of the line gets steeper. That's unnatural. When we throw a ball up in the air, the ball decelerates till it falls down. What happens is in a parabolic curve is the ball accelerates. And that's unnatural. And we know a couple of things about parabolic curves. One, they always fail. And they fail dramatically by 50% or more. And you can see that failure starting to develop in Bitcoin. Why is it doing that? Well, a lot of the players are moving to the second level to this. I can't say it, Corey. It begins with an E. You probably can say it. Ether, or whatever it is.
Ether, yes.
Yeah. If you take that one-year chart of Ether and compare it to Bitcoin, you're seeing the same development. Now, what about the fundamentals? The fundamental argument is totally fallacious. The argument's been that there's a fixed amount of Bitcoins, fixed amount of this coin. What's not fixed is the number of cryptocurrencies. CNBC on June 4th, now we both know that their opinions on anything are garbage, but they probably report the facts all right. I'm reading the sentence, Storage, I can't sure what that word is, has 34 million in coins outstanding, making it the 53rd most valuable cryptocurrencies. So we know there's at least 53 of them. There may be no limit on the number of a coin, but there's no limit to the number of cryptocurrencies the computer can create. So they're going to create a zillion of them. And at some point, some of them are going to start failing, for whatever the reason. And that's going to destroy this whole speculation. One of the other things from history we know for it is after something has had a run, when they start making ETFs or mutual funds, as they're trying to do, and SEC won't let them, that is normally the end of the run when it becomes not only they creating the cryptocurrencies, they're trying to create vehicles to participate. So while many investors were in there early, the people going in there now are late. And so I think as that bubble bursts, this money will move back to silver and give silver an extra kick relative to whatever move gold makes.
So, Ned, it is hard to determine when this rollover or even just general slowdown on cryptocurrencies will happen. But the fact of the matter right now, even when you take a step back and see what's happening in terms of interest rates measured also in terms of inflation, so talking about real interest rates at the beginning of the year, we were seeing negative real interest rates over the past 3 to 4 months. That narrative has changed as well. So that is also another reason why maybe investors are shying away from the precious metals. What do you think about that point?
I think that's a possibility, but I don't know that low interest. In other words, we've had 4 interest rate moves to 1.25. I don't know if that move is big enough at that low level to hurt gold. If we were talking about going from 6 to 7%, definitely that's a possibility. But the interest rate increase we have had is more damaging to the NASDAQ 100. And as that set of fantasies collapses, I think we'll get money to move back not only into silver, but primarily into gold. So I think we're set up here. It's traded down to the, gold is traded down to the moving average three times before each time it's rallied, and that's where we're at now. So I think the collapse of fantasies like Tesla is going to shock the complacency in the investment world, and they're going to move to other things, and I think gold and silver will be one of those moves.
Hey, Ned, I do believe that you are right. It's just one of these aspects for the markets that these high-flying stocks continue to support the markets moving up. There is still a lot of liquidity within the market, and that is one aspect that continues to keep these markets levitated. The fact of the matter is, though, we are starting to see a little bit of a different narrative coming out of the Fed and other central banks, whether they do follow through with more, let's say, quantitative tightening across the board, whether that kind of pulls the string out of the markets and moves them back down. That does then bring the fear back into the markets and make the precious metals more attractive. One other thing to consider on the longer term charts, hey, 2016, even though it was very much an up and down year, it was still a net up year. This year, as long as I believe we can put in another positive year, which could depend a lot on the tail end, the Q4 of this year, that could be very positive. But right now, no doubt that the precious metals are a bit unloved, and you bring up a good point that I think cryptocurrencies are also taking some of the steam out of that. So, Ned, hey, it's been great having you on the show again. Thank you for your time.
Good to talk to you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
To wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody has enjoyed our coverage so far, mostly focused on the precious metals, and that's why in this segment we're going to take a little bit of a divergence, talk more about yields, but not just yields in the U.S. We're going to start off with the yields in Europe. I have Chris Martinson, the co-founder, co-editor of peakprosperity.com, a great website that I go to on a regular basis. Chris, European bond yields really starting to move up quite strongly over the last couple weeks. The German Bund is up. Well, if you look at where it was just 2 weeks ago, then we're more than double its level. It was 0.25% about 2 weeks ago. Now it's 0.54%. We're also seeing the Italian yields, Spain yields, French yields, everything in Europe moving up. Is this, do you think, due to maybe a tightening of quantitative policy from the central banks, including the ECB and the Fed?
I do. There's been a lot of chatter over the past few years about when are they going to start tightening and all of that. And again, it's still just talk. There really is no tightening to speak of. But here's what we can see happen in markets that are this dependent as they've become on just extraordinary amounts of liquidity. And so yields are starting to move up. And it's interesting to note that today, as this is being recorded here, we're seeing both stocks and bonds down in price. Of course, when bonds go down in price, the yield goes up. So we're watching this dynamic that's happening in the U.S. It's in Europe, even in Japan. I know it's meaningless, but a 0.1% rate now on the 10-year, which used to be less than that, believe it or not. So all the yields are starting to move up. I think it's because we're starting to see actual minutes coming out and actual more statements from ECB members. And also with the idea that Japan has had some pretty good conversations, too, about replacing Kuroda to have somebody else new in there who can begin to think about how you start to unwind. So I think we're looking at early market reactions to even the idea, not the reality, but the idea of an eventual rewind. And already we're seeing market action from that.
So, Chris, when we see essentially treasuries and stocks moving down together, does this speak to you in a bigger picture of liquidity being sucked out of the system, which we haven't seen in, well, a long, long time?
Well, indeed. Normally, you know, it's the jello on a plate idea, which is if stocks go down, bonds go up, vice versa. That's when you have, you know, money is just moving around, sector rotations, this is and that. When you see both stocks and bonds start to head down, it reminds me of the so-called taper tantrum that ensued in the days after Ben Bernanke dared to raise the idea that maybe the Federal Reserve would begin to taper its bond purchases. Didn't even talk about reducing the balance sheet. That was enough to send markets into a tizzy. And, of course, the Federal Reserve backed off immediately from that plan and ended up throwing more money into the markets afterwards in the next round of QE. So here's where we are, Corey. It's very odd, but We're in a place now where the markets at their price levels are completely dependent on continued central bank liquidity measures, purchase programs, things like that. So that's where we are. And, of course, everybody knows it has to end at some point. And the question is that now?
Chris, this ties into the recent FOMC minutes, I think, where there were a couple comments in terms of this quantitative tightening that the Fed is talking about. Several of the Fed presidents preferred to announce the start of the quantitative tightening process within a couple months. But then, I think more importantly, they made comments that they believe that the effect on financial market conditions was expected to be limited. So this, again, means that the Fed thinks that they can go through with an unwinding of their balance sheet and it won't trickle over into the markets. This, to me, seems like a disconnect from reality.
Well, maybe they know something we don't. If they understood that both Japan and the ECB were going to continue with their liquidity efforts, I think the Fed could, reduce their balance sheet by $10 billion a month by letting, say, mortgage-backed securities roll off. That wouldn't really impact market conditions too much. So it kind of depends. We have to watch all three of the central banks together, the big three, the G3, we might call them, and to really understand where this is all going to go, because we are now in a global market. This is global liquidity conditions. So, I'm on record. I think Janet Yellen committed one of the cardinal sins by saying we'll never see a financial accident like 2008 in our lifetimes. It's just a ridiculous idea, given how overextended and overdependent these markets are now on central bank printing.
So, Chris, do you think that one central bank is more important than the others, or it just needs to be a coordinated effort by them all to really put a kink in the system?
Well, just to make an argument here, if both the ECB and the Bank of Japan stopped their $200 billion a month liquidity operations and the Federal Reserve stepped in with its own $200 billion a month liquidity operations, my view is that that would be neutral to the overall global market conditions. And the reason for that is that the players who have access to all that liquidity, they're just out in all the markets at this point in time. If you really want to understand, there aren't really U.S. markets anymore and European markets. There is now a world market. If you want to understand what's happening in asset prices, you have to watch crazy stuff now, like the U.S. dollar compared to the Japanese yen as a cross pair or things like that, because we're seeing a global flood of liquidity. That's what the central banks have engineered. It was a dumb idea. They really have gotten themselves in a corner. So I think what we're seeing is the early signs now of markets digesting the idea that this can't go on forever.
So does that mean that if we do start to see central banks actually tighten in Europe, let's say if they actually start to tighten their money printing, and in the U.S. if it does actually start to go through an unwinding of the balance sheet, that the market truly pays attention on that day? Or, again, does it last longer than we all could think?
No, these markets are going to be exquisitely sensitive to changes in liquidity. To understand this, the market structure is important, and by that I mean that we now know that most of the market activity is performed by quantitative algorithms. These are just computer robots. They do what they do. And the thing that those robots are exquisitely tuned to do is sniff out liquidity. If more liquidity is coming in, they detect it and things tend to rise, and vice versa. The tricky part with these algorithms, Corey, is that they're not even just, I wouldn't even say lightning fast, they're faster. It's astonishing the speed they're operating at. And they don't care about fundamentals, and they don't really care about the things you and I or other investors might look at. They're geared to execute trades against each other in a little bit like a Darwinistic Wild West sort of a way. And the thing they need to continue driving prices up on balance is more and more liquidity coming into the markets.
So if this liquidity dries up, Chris, what does that mean for the markets, for some of the safe havens? Is everything hit across the board?
Not just hit. We're looking at the possibility. Of course, this is untested, but the possibility is that when these algorithms finally decide the liquidity isn't there or conditions aren't right or they're out of their parameter ranges, they don't just sort of wander away slowly. They stop in a fraction of a second or less, a microsecond. So the idea is that all of the activity that's out there being performed by these robots, which looks like legitimate market activity, something you can analyze on the news and say, oh, my gosh, investors bought this day. No, algorithms bought stuff today, and they can come and go really in less than a blink of an eye. So my view and my concern is that when we get into a real market shakeup, you are going to discover that the emperor has no clothes, that all of this market liquidity we thought was there isn't. And worse, there's no way to convince a computer algorithm to come back online, you know, by instilling confidence in it. If it's out of range, if its parameters are out of range, it will not trade. That's just how the programs are written.
So it does sound like there is obviously a risk when you have markets at levels that they're at, depending on easy money from central banks. But again, there's so much of investors, if you even want to call them investors, that aren't looking at fundamentals, that aren't digging down deeper. They're simply looking at chart moves compared to other charts.
Well, absolutely. And some of them are running arbitration routines where they don't care. It's just like, well, if there's this much of a gap between these two assets, I'm going to sell that and buy this gap over here between these two. It's just things they do. So they're trading actually without any regard to what you and I would call underlying fundamentals. It's just how the programs are written. And it's a hugely complex world. And we're starting to see them begin to prey on each other, and they're getting more and more sophisticated. And it's really an astonishing thing all on its own. But it does create a form of market risk that I don't think people are prepared for or really understand well, which is that these things can just decide to evaporate from the market astonishingly quickly. And when they're gone, that's a huge part of the market that's no longer there trading and operating.
It's a scary thought to think that we are in this stage of the market as closely as we follow the market and as closely as I think the person on the street does pay attention to the market. It's just a different world out there from what I think a lot of us learned when going through university. So, Chris, hey, it's always great having you on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour. Stick around. We're going to be right back with Al's KER Politics.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.